Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
At 20 minutes to 11 o'clock. PJ Gallagher, good morning.
Good morning.
That's good. Since I haven't seen you for a while, normally we do TV.
Yeah.
And here we are today. You're now a radio veteran now.
A veteran? Yeah. I'm not sure about veteran, but yeah, I'm into it. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I know, getting to talking to big fluffy microphones. It's a whole different
for
thing.
For a change.
And not have to stare people in the face.
Which is nice.
Which is nice, yeah, yeah.
What's your start time in the morning? The alarm clock goes out?
It goes off at 5.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad, because I'm only 5 minutes from the studio, so it goes off at 5 and then I run in. Me and Damien Farley, we start at 6.
Yeah. Then you're just jabbering away, playing some tunes
just
and having a
jabbering away, yeah. It's great fun, though. Who taught? I mean, 20 years of night shifts being a stand-up comedian and then it turns out you're a morning person. It came as a terrible shock.
Did you find that the mornings are good for you?
Yeah, I really did. And to be honest, if you had asked me for the last 2 decades, if I was a morning person, I would have said you were mad. No, not at all. That I was always a night person. But there you go. It just turned the whole world on its head, and I'm all the better for it.
And it suits you.
Yeah, suits me.
But it's a lovely look. It's a lovely medium radio. It's much more intimate. It's less show. Look, you can wear your hoodie. I can wear my pajamas, and nobody knows
the difference. I could not be wearing trousers at all, and nobody would know the difference.
Worse. Yeah.
But it's the immediacy of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's great to just be like, you know, you say something and an hour later you're around the corner in the shop and someone goes, you know, you're dead right about that, what you're saying. It's so instant. It's brilliant.
And the lack of, I suppose, the difference between, say, stand-up for you or the late-late for me, you don't have those 200, 400 pairs of eyes looking at you.
Go
on, do it. Be better.
Yeah, exactly. And stand-up can be like lion tame, and that's what I was saying to you. Like, it's like, you know, you feel like you have a chair and a whip all the time, because you never know when stand-up's going to bite back. Yeah, even though it never does, you always feels like a code, you know.
There's
an added pressure to it that you just don't get.
But that's what we're kind of part of the reason we're talking today, because of the Stage Fright programme, which is on...
It's on tonight.
It's 9 o'clock on RT2. They're normally on really late. That's good. You got a good time.
I got a good time, yeah. So I'm just asking everyone not to watch the news tonight and turn on to...
Probably won't be anything interesting.
No, probably not.
Greece and the banks and...
Yeah, all that stuff, you know, anyway.
Give it a break for one night.
Yeah, so just turn on and watch me shaking instead.
We have talked about this briefly before, about your stage fright. You said to me once that before you go on stage, it's very common for you to vomit into a bucket.
Yeah, well, I've done it a couple of times, but what was really common, like, was I would just shake and I would be quite antisocial. I find it hard to talk to someone when there was a show coming and, you know, very distracted all the time, and it was just really, really tough, you know. I would literally be shaking sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's the whole point of just getting to the microphone. That was the hard part, because once you hold the mic and you open your mouth the first time, it's gone. So it's just this ridiculous phobia. But
the build-up. So
yeah,
let's say you had a slot at 9 o'clock on the International Comedy Club of some sort. At what time would the nerves kick in day?
That day, when I wake up that morning.
Oh, that whole day?
Yeah, I would have my breakfast and then that would be it for the day. Then I'm just distracted all day long. I'm not really able to function or think of the show or frame it in my head. So everything has to be done the previous day.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's just not going to happen. And then I'll like walk the dog and distract myself. But I used to be in just bad habits as well. Like I'd avoid thinking about the show as often as I could. And then of course, when you try not to think of something, the opposite happens.
Yeah,
like if I say to you, don't think of an elephant having
a
cigarette.
There it is. And smoking. I never thought that one.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'm now having the goal was going, I'm exhausted. I needed this. I've just been in half an hour with the missus.
So that's what happens. And then it was all about just breaking those habits, because it's an irrational fear. Stage fright is just an irrational fear of something that can't hurt you. It's like when you see people afraid of spiders. The most annoying thing about it is they know it won't do them any harm, but it's just a fear it won't go away.
They've created this thing in their brain that won't allow them to get on with it.
And I, for 20 years I had my head down just being really nervous, and all I had to do was just do some really basic little steps to break that cycle, and I've done it now, and I just think, why didn't you do this earlier?
Why can you answer that question? Why didn't you do it earlier?
I guess I just let it be that was the way it was, and I think I told myself that if I wasn't in an absolute panic, because the shows always work, they always go well. So for me, in my head, I'd made the connection that the more nervous and panicked and freaked out I am, the better the show's going to be.
So you were using that as a fuel for your performance.
Yeah, and I thought that if that wasn't there, then the show wouldn't work well.
Okay.
So which is like, what? There's not even related, you know.
How do you have a wedding ring on your finger? And you must be pretty hard to live with on a day of, and for somebody who's, that's your job.
Yeah, you'd think so, but I'm actually fairly laid back at home, like, you know.
Yeah, but on gig day?
A gig day, yeah. A gig day, it's just get out, though. It's just walk the dogs, get drive around, go for a motorcycle ride, go for a cycle, you know, eat a lot of chips. Anything that takes you away, get stuck into Netflix. Anything that just distracted you, so.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, some performers are in politics and what they talk about compartmentalization. And I love that word because, you know, some people can, in ways, box everything off. I do a bit of it myself sometimes, like on a late, late day, is box it all off and don't worry about it until you need to confront it.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from, but it's just, it's almost an innate ability. I'll deal with this one. And whereas you've got you've opened the whole box and it's all there. Everything, your whole day, your nerves, and you've developed this thing that says, I can't do one if I'm not feeling like a nervous wreck.
Yeah, yeah. Here. Everything had to be linked, so you had to be really nervous to make that happen.
So many years later, you decide, I'll confront this.
Well, I was going to go back on tour. So that was, I'd written a new show and I was going to go back on tour. And I announced it and said the dates and when they were going to happen. And then the production company said, can we follow you around? And I was like, yeah, because that's exactly what I need. Is a camera in my face now that I'm starting this again? Yeah, yeah. And they were like, no. Like, if we follow you around and we make you do these things, take these steps towards, you know, knocking stage fright in the head.
They wanted to help you with
that. So it was like that. And I was like, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. After a lot of talk, like they had to talk me into it for a long time because I was really nervous about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, we'll give it a shot and we'll see. And I think they knew it would work for them because it was real, because you can't bluff a documentary. You'll smell it a mile away.
Yeah,
if it's not.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they knew they were going to get it real. Like, even if I was bluffing at the start, as soon as we arrived into a venue, I was going to start unraveling.
And they could see that.
And they could see that. And then it was a brilliant thing to do because I took steps then I never would have done on my own.
Yeah.
Like, and stuff that I, because I'm such a skeptic, I believe nothing. So everything they asked me to do, I thought was never going to help. So I was kind of going in, going, yeah, right, here we go. And in my head, it was like, let's prove how nonsensical these things are.
Okay.
You give me a couple of hours, and I'm like, these things are amazing. This actually works.
Okay.
You know?
So give us an idea of what they made you do that you were going, no, I don't buy those self help books.
Yeah. Well, I met this guy who's Jan de Vries, who's like professor of stage fright. That's what he does. He's like a stage, you know, when you're watching like, you know, a hurricane video or something, and you see a guy who's a professor of hurricanes, and you go, that's not a job. How can that be a job? And he was really helpful, and he just gave me a lot of tips. And he actually brought it down to a point. He says, it's not even stage fright with you. With you, it's just making them laugh. So he narrowed the problem, made it much smaller, which really helped.
Yeah.
And then I did this neuro-linguistic programming.
I hear a lot about that too. Yeah. What is that?
It's kind of actually you sitting in the room with a fella and him telling you, you're great for an hour. That's kind of what
it is.
They
should sell it as that.
Yeah, they should sell it as that. But it's a little bit more detailed in that you try and break those habits. Just those, because fear is all about just those bad habits.
Okay.
But it was a really funny moment because I was doing that day with him and he was like saying, you can do anything. You need to get it into your head that you can do anything and anything's achievable. And then when you accept that, you think bigger and you realize you can do even more than that and things you haven't even thought of, you can do absolutely anything. And at the end, I was excited and I was like, can I go to the toilet? He goes, no, I don't have the key. It's like, all right. So I came crashing back down to earth.
Can't quite do anything.
But the basics of it stayed with me.
Yeah, okay. And so these were the things, the NLP, as they call it, and then the Professor of Stage Fright, all these things started to get you on the road to recovery.
It was just little tiny like incremental changes that had to be made. And when I look back on it, like I wish I could say that I finished the documentary and I had this huge American change of life. I'm a new man and why didn't I do this years ago and be blubbing and say, I can't believe the darkness is gone. But the truth is, I just learned to chill out a little bit. And that's really a good lesson for everybody.
Well, that's the real skeptics analysis of what happened.
I suppose
I know, because I understand that. I'd be a bit similar myself, but I would like to ask you, did the things that you previously thought were gobbledygook make you uppie actually get you to the point where you are today? Or do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it was
just buy into what you thought was bullshit before.
Yeah, well, I guess I probably expected too much of it, so that's why I thought it was complete crap, you know.
Yeah.
So I would have thought NLP, you go into this room with this guy and then they say, oh, you walk out and you're a new man, and like, to me, that's nonsense. And then there is, well, that's actually not what it is. It's just about thinking a little differently. So you go, oh, okay, I get it, now I get it. And then he gave me a CD to listen to a couple of times, and you listen to it before you do a performance and you feel a little bit better and you don't let the nerves take control. So to that extent, it worked and it was really worthwhile.
God.
And then you talk to someone like, Jan de Vries and you tell him what your fears are, and then just to say it to another person, him to just to laugh at you and go, you're full of rubbish. Yeah. Like, that's not what it is. And that just helps. So it's incremental, tiny little things.
And have you road tested this yet since the documentary?
Yeah, I have, yes.
You've been on stage.
Yeah, I'm on tour now, so I'm doing like a couple of, and it's so weird. Now I'm standing, now, of course, typical me. Now I get nervous that I'm not nervous. So I don't even get nervous about the show anymore.
There's no winning here.
Now I'm standing at the back of the room and they're going to bring me on and I'm going, no, I feel like I'm looking forward to this. That's not right. Why should I be looking forward to this?
So, vicious circle.
Yeah, you find a way to be scared regardless.
But you're much improved.
Yeah, much improved. And now it's the first tour I've been on that I can get on stage and just totally mess around. And
yeah.
I'm really throwing myself at it.
So you're more loose on stage.
Much more loose. Like, because before I would only enjoy the gigs when they were finished. It was always like, charge, get through it, remember the bits, get there, improvise a bit, do a bit more. And then at the end I go, take a deep breath and go, oh, okay, that was great. I enjoyed it. But amazing. Now it's like, I'm up there and like, you can't shut me up. Now, like, you know, 40 minute gigs are like an hour and a half. so it's different.
Can we take this out then to people listening today who would be of a nervous disposition? Should they go the road you went as well? If, you know, it mightn't be stand-up, but it could be just, another...
Yeah, I think so. Like, job. Especially in the process of it, I met people that turned down promotions and work because the idea of doing a presentation once a month was just so overwhelming that
yes.
they could not take it on. They were like, oh, I just couldn't do it.
Stand up in front of people.
Yeah, and they're not even in the documentary because they're too nervous to go on camera. And you think, like, it's not worth it. Like, it's not worth it. And then, like, you realise the worst thing that can happen is you have a staring match. And that's not that bad.
Yeah.
And,
then,
and in my case, if a gig goes bad, which they don't normally, well, then I just have a funnier story for the next gig.
So it's
just not worth it.
Okay,
be yourself.
Is there? I mean, there are other comedians who I think Ardal O'Hanlon would be similarly.
Yeah, Ardal's in the documentary because the two of us were supposed to be the most nervous comedians.
Yes.
Everybody knows because there's no secret that two of us suffered from stage fright. And I was doing a gig with Ardal about 10 years ago, and I was shaking. I think well, at least there's two of us in it. And he walked over, and I thought he was going to say, you know, it's terrible. Right. And he put his hand on my shoulder and says, look, man, it's just not worth it. Oh, no. If he's looking at me. And then in the documentary, he says that it was when he saw how bad I was that he went, it snapped him out of it and went, this is crazy behavior.
So you made him feel better about it.
Yeah. I was his professor of stage fright.
That's it. I feel a professorship coming on for you now as a direct result. The program is on tonight. It's part of the Reality Bites documentary series.
Yes, it
is. And it's called PJ Gallagher's Stage Fright. We'll have a look at that. It's at 9 o'clock on RT2. Thanks for coming in.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Where else can we see you on stage these days?
I'm everywhere. Where am I this week? I'm in Navan, Carlow, Cork, Ennis, Limerick, everywhere.
And then home for the radio in the morning?
And then home for, well, I do the weekends. I'm gigging on the weekends and doing the...
And then the radio Monday to Friday. Busy times. Somebody saw you in Lislockery Lodge in Cong, beautiful part of the world.
That was just last week.
Weekend says you were brilliant and they really enjoyed it. So that's good news.
Hardest place in the world to get out of. Got lost in the car park for 20 minutes.
Did you? Yeah, I really did.
I ended up going up the one way thing out of there because I just couldn't find another way.
Just zip down down by the trees and get out of there. PJ, we'll talk again soon about the rest of the life in the universe. But for now, thanks so much and good luck tonight. Enjoy the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.